download the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. It's available in the App Store and Google Play. Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.85 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, who is not interested in the Las Vegas Golden Knights, as they do something that's fairly unprecedented. I mean, they look to win a cup their first year in existence, and Vegas, Rich, is over the top. They can't get enough.
And what's awesome is that there is an old guard who can't stand what the Vegas Knights are doing as far as the pre-production of these games. I mean, they have intros that are probably 10 minutes long.
Oh, did you
see?
That
involve storylines and knights battling and explosions.
The other night when they played their, what was it?
It would have been Monday night.
Monday night when they played.
Yeah.
They didn't. The face-off wasn't until at least 8:30.
Oh yeah, it takes forever. I mean, this thing goes on forever and ever and ever, and it's phenomenal. Just to give you a little bit of a taste of what it's like to be at a pregame ceremony for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, let's listen to this Wizarding World of Wonderment.
Golden Knights Army.
Oh my God! And here we go.
Yes, yes.
Release the Kraken.
Meanwhile, Kevin Paul DuPont to the world, like, come on,
it's awesome. And watching them all tweet and just like all these guys
drop the puck
for like TSN. What are we doing? When are we going to play actual hockey and none of this hokey pokey?
But then you have the author of The Hobbit's great grandchildren are very
Tolkien. Yes,
the Tolkien family approve.
Yes, they do. And yeah, there is a giant castle on the side, and these guys dressed as knights come up with like torches. It's the greatest.
All of a sudden, like Geddy Lee, like flies in. He's like,
I'm a fan.
I'm imagining Barry Melrose just like shaking his head and not watching and then reporting on it later.
Barry Melrose loves it.
You think Melrose is all in?
Yeah, it's time that he can hit the deli tray.
Oh, that's a good point. He's got an extra half hour to eat.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't watch it.
That's
done.
Yeah.
He's trying to bang a cocktail waitress at Harris. He knows he doesn't have to get there until later.
Yes.
Golden Knights Army has vanquished the kings, feasted on sharks, and grounded the jets.
How pissed are you if, like, this is all your friends showed you, and then you walk in there and you're like, this is not medieval times?
He just becomes upset.
I don't know. We thought we had to go to King Arthur's Fair.
Yeah, exactly. There's no stress day and a big turkey leg and everything.
Mike Milbury's trying to figure out which ones he's going to give wedgies to afterwards.
So many wedgies.
Whose head
so
am I going to put in a toilet?
Yep.
Conquering enemies on land, sea, and air. The West belongs to Vegas. Golden Knights Army has grown.
And it goes on and on. It just keeps going. And then you think it's done. And out comes like three wizards with torches and a man who doth the crossbow. Oh, it's the best. So they
I wonder if super rich nerds come for just the intro and then leave.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Right. And like this giant helmet comes down from the ceiling that is like lit and red with smoke coming out. And two knights come out and they start like dueling, and one has a Capitals logo on, the other one, you know, has the Golden Knights thing, and the place goes, hey, the Golden Knights shall win. And so in the first, like during like the Western Conference final, one of the Winnipeg Jets knights got strucketh with thy battle axe, and he flew up to the ceiling and disappeared. And in this one, he takes the sword and hits the ice, and they make it look like the ice cracked, and he blew up. It is so over the top. And I just know it pisses off all of these old farts who like report for the, and it makes it 10 times funnier.
You know when they run out of money because they're going to eventually suck, that it's just going to be like two guys LARPing. Try get it in now.
They're just going to get the sound guy and the dude who plays the keyboard.
Two guys wearing the same chainmail.
There you go. Here's a foam sword.
Golden once. There were 31.
It's the beginning of Number of the Beast.
Is there, it's like in the beginning.
In the beginning.
No, it's like the beginning of Spaceballs where you see the ship and you think it's going to be over and it just keeps going and going and going. It just you think it's done and then nope, ball wizards.
Once there were 31.
That is someone shuffling the Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
It's Cassius Marsh with his Magic the Gathering things he's flipping through.
Yes? Mm-hmm. He's hitting the Funyuns button on the vending machine. And then the Funyuns come down, and then it turns to you, and it's Pasta Joe, and he just puts the Funyuns in his mouth.
He just sits there, just like, smiling.
Fritos and beef.
And now only two remain. The capitals from the east attack our fortress. And they are here!
Eventually!
Give it time.
Sooner or later, you'll see real hockey.
But first, don't worry about the game. This is all...
But first,
planned out.
We shall serve you turkey leg that you must eat with thy hands. No utensils here at the Vegas Golden Knights Arena. Would you like a Pepsi? A Pepsi and a mead cup.
It's the only arena that has every flavor of Mountain Dew.
Right, for there are many to choose from.
What hot pockets do they have, sir?
You like my code red?
What hot pockets do they have?
Well, they have thy pepperoni pizza, the sausage and cheese. You can wash it down with a nice goblet of gamer fuel.
There's a microwave at every stand.
Do you like the Monster energy drink? Or the Monster that lurks in thy dungeon?
They have a very...
What happened in the second intermission?
They have a very controversial bring-your-own Hot Pockets plan that goes on.
It is the best. And then, like, they have... And then the everything else that surrounds it, too. Like, the pregame that they have going on. I mean, Dave Gosher... We gotta find audio of it. Dave Gosher, who does, like, the TV pre- and post-game stuff, was interviewing Little John beforehand. I can't think of any more awkward of an interview. Oh, first of all, Little John, what was the last hit that Little John had? I think he had turned down for what, which may have been several years ago. But you want to talk about like the Z list of celebrities, and that's what makes it 10 times even better. Matter of fact, there was a poll that was taken by someone involved with the organization. They said, who should ring the bell? There's like a bell that they have. Who should ring the bell at the next game? And here were the choices. Little John, Chumley. You know who Chumley is?
Yes, from Pawn Stars.
From Pawn Stars.
Who's like the fourth guy on Pawn Stars. Right.
Brent Musburger.
Oh, boy.
And John Taffer of Bar Rescue. Like, this is the worst episode of Celebrity Apprentice ever.
John Taffer, like the bald, big guy from
the guy who yells like this. Yeah, the Bar Rescue guy.
And this is for, like, the playoffs?
Yeah, this is, dude, it's for the finals. This is dude, well, okay.
You couldn't get the dad, the son, or the old man from Pawn Stars, so I give you Chumley.
Chumley, hey! The rest of the country goes, who?
So who won?
Little John is in the lead right now. And if you doubt that this is real, like the level of celebrity, get the one where they're ringing the bell. Check out who they picked.
We're going to have to break.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll talk to Mike Gorman, then we'll come back.
The Z-level celebrities they have are just, it's phenomenal. It's like, I have to go to a Vegas Golden Knights game.
And if this is who they can get this year...
I'm just going to say when they're terrible, who's going to show up?
You know they're not going to be good next year. You just know it.
No, there's no possible way that all these guys could play this well.
This is a miracle. It's like
season.
A miracle yes. season. And, right. and you're right, Fred. I mean, common sense would just look at this team and go, you can't sustain this.
Yeah. No. And so when they're, it's going to be funny when the arena is like got a quarter full. And they're pulling out, and they're like, look.
You can't go much lower than Chumley.
No, there's someone who's even lower that we have audio of. Because I can't think of anybody. I can't think of anyone worse than one of the guys that we have on deck here.
There's some bad
Who
ones.
I had no idea was alive. If you would have told me this guy was alive, I would have told you you're out of your mind.
I said the same thing to Mike in the other room.
I mean, you were doing Carson in like the 60s. We're going to talk to Mike Gorman, unfortunately, for the last time in a while.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
LeBron tries to spin away from Tatum. Tatum reaches in, knocks the ball off LeBron out of bounds, and turns him over.
Being aggressive, looking to get up on him. Pushing, poking, bounding him around.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The season is over. Mike Gorman can go back to wherever he goes and live his life.
He just wanders the land.
He is a Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. Mike Gorman, NBC Sports Boston. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you? Did you see that thing last night? Did you watch the documentary?
You know, I watched, it's funny, I forgot it was on, but I watched like a ton of the videos that were like segments and highlights and stuff. Like, okay. I probably watched a total of 30 minutes of them. And what I saw was very funny. Big Baby not feeling comfortable sitting down and speaking to a camera.
What was that line from Bare Naked Ladies? I have a history of taking off my shirt.
Yes, he liked saying that. He liked saying that he took off his shirt, and
which he did often, by the way. Now that they, I was surprised how loose they were in talking about the plane, because the plane was the scene, which I never really talked about because I didn't really want to talk out of school. But all the gambling that was going on the plane, the craziness, it was nuts.
Now, why did Davis take his shirt off so much? Because he was chubbier than the rest of the guys.
He felt the need to do it, is all I can say. He would do it often on the plane. He'd just kind of wander around in a pair of shorts.
He was like Chunk from the Goonies. Everyone thought it was funny when he would lift up his shirt and he would start, you know, shaking around.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that in there. But it was, I was surprised. I mean, these guys, as you find out in the documentary, just follow Kevin Garnett's lead. Kevin was the alpha male in the group by far. And being the super competitive guy he was, they were always competing over something. It was like, you know, next free throw is going to hit the front rim, $50, you know, whatever. They were just always betting and gambling and competing with each other. And Kevin Garnett had one of the loudest boom boxes I've ever seen in my life. It was just blaring music from the time they get on the plane to the time they get off it.
Well, that had to be annoying as hell.
Well, you had to have good headphones. You had to have good noise cancellation headphones if you wanted to sleep on the plane.
How does Heinsohn handle that? I can see you being someone who, you know, would be nice enough to tolerate it, but I don't think Heinsohn would tolerate fools too much.
Well, as long as they had dub bars, that's all Tommy can.
As long as he could crush some ice cream, he was good.
You're exactly right. We sat literally in the back row of the plane. That was where the media went. So everything was happening in front of us. You know, I mean, again, I'm not talking out of school. If you watch the documentary, you'll hear them talking about this. I mean, there were two main card games that were going on in every flight, and then there always was a dice game in the aisle, which made it difficult if you wanted to try to get up to get some food off the buffet, which was on the other side of where the players sat, because you had to walk through the dice game, which was not an easy task to do. Sometimes it would take you 35 minutes to go up on the plane and come back. But I tell you, it's really worth watching because it gives you a real insight as to what that team was all about and what made them tick. It's a good show. It's a good investment of a couple of hours.
How bad of a loser was Kevin Garnett when he lost in cards? How bad did he take it?
When he lost
in cards,
playing cards. If he lost
he
a card,
he didn't lose much. Is it great? Did you get the arm wrestling story?
No, we did not. I did not see that part of the documentary.
Scal had the whole thing about that. Yeah,
that's classic. And that, you know, I won't spoil the results from that. But anybody who's listening who wants a good laugh and wants to get a good feel who Kevin Garnett is, just fast forward to the arm wrestling part. It's really terrific.
Okay,
he's lucky they didn't do a follow through on a fight part because he would have lost every time. All right.
Always has Perk behind him.
That's right.
I could sit and listen to Perk talk for hours.
Well, I'm the same way. Like, everything's like he's fascinated by everything. Everything was the greatest. And the way he speaks, I just thought I saw
his
those people stand.
And it's just wonderful. I mean, he could be reading the menu, and I'd sit there and listen.
Well, he could be. All right, so that sucked, Game 7, huh? That was not what I think anybody expected, and I think the reason that a lot of Celtics fans are bummed is because that game was theirs for the taking, and they weren't able to capitalize. What happened? Why did the team go so cold?
Well, I think the pressure of the moments finally showed itself. You don't win a whole lot of seventh games with 19-year-olds anymore. 20, 21, 22-year-olds being your main guys. I think the pressure of the moment, the reality of the situation, maybe set in a little bit that hadn't set in before. We saw the same thing happen with Houston. You know, good teams have bad nights shooting, and the Celtics picked the wrong night to have a terrible shooting night.
The question now is, because all of these young guys have gone through Game 7s, how does it affect them moving forward? Obviously, Jason Tatum is special. We knew that beforehand. We saw how special he can be in a Game 7. But for a guy like Jaylen Brown, how do you think he reacts to this?
Well, I think ultimately it'll be a very positive reaction. I'm sure, you know, Jaylen's a very thoughtful kid, so I'm sure he's probably brooding about this at some level, about how he played. But he'll get over it, like all players get over it after about a week or so. And he'll be better for it in the long run. I mean, I don't want to get into trading stuff, but he's a keeper. I mean, I don't think he did anything to hurt the feeling of Celtic fans that they want to see Tatum and Brown play together for a long time.
Well, that's the guy you learned the most about was Tatum. I mean, because if anything, you knew that Jaylen Brown still has time, and maybe he'll get that clutch thing, and he won't freeze up in a game like this, or he won't go cold, you know. But Jason Tatum, you learned that this moment, it's not too big for him. I mean, he can go toe-to-toe with LeBron James. He was good on the road as well as he was at home. And when you see that, I think out of all the players on this team, he's the guy you learn the most about his character and his potential to be a superstar.
Yeah, and they're both, he gets A-plus with both. I had a chance to spend some time with Paul Pierce, who I maintain a friendship with. And when I brought up the subject of Tatum, I mean, he just rolled his eyes. He's like, wow. He said he's better than me when I was that age, which Paul doesn't throw around compliments like that.
Okay, so now the offseason's here, and you got Marcus Smart is kind of the big story. How much would you pay for him if you're Danny Ainge? Because you read that article, I'm sure, that Jackie McMullen wrote, where he says that he believes he's worth more than $12 to $14 million.
But there's really nobody like him. It's hard to put a price on defense.
Yeah, you can't like look at players past and go, well, this guy got this much, and you would compare it to what Marcus Smart's going to get, and that you also kind of look at the market and who would pay that much for a guy who more than likely would not be a starter. You just have to have a special situation to sign him. So how much do you think, if you're Danny, you'd be willing to pay?
12 million.
Well, so 12. That's lower than I would have expected you to say.
For a guy who's going to come off the bench.
What would you give him, 14, 15?
16? Well, okay, I've resigned to the fact that if Danny Ainge paid him anything more than 15 a year for like 4 years, I'd say that it's not worth it. But if he was to come out and say that a team, that they matched an offer that a team gave him for 4 years, $15 million a year, I would say, okay, well, I can live with that. That's the number for me.
Yeah, I think that's probably reasonable, 14, 15. Maybe either they can start the conversation around 12, end up around 14. I think what they don't want to end up is around 18. And I don't know whether there's anybody out there who's willing to give him that kind of money. I agree with John. You know, it sounds cliche as you're saying, like, well, he does all these things that don't show up on the score sheet and blah, blah, blah. But he does. He really does. And you have to see him play and have to see those moments that we're talking about when they actually happen to understand, as John said just a few moments ago, which I agree 100%, he's a unique player. There's nobody who can say, well, this guy on this team makes this, and he's like Marcus. There's nobody like Marcus.
Yeah, but in a league where you have to be able to score, and that's a vital thing. I mean, to pay $15 million for a guy who's going to come off the bench and not score is a little frightening.
Right. It's a little frightening, but he might win the game with a play on the other end, with a steal, with a block, with a diving on a loose ball, or getting a loose ball. He doesn't necessarily... Points are a bonus, you know.
But if I want a hustle guy, I could just... Go ahead.
That guy tweeted about a week ago, the four words Celtic fans never want to hear Mike Gorman say are Marcus Smart for three. That was what he said, Marcus Smart for three.
No, because he's terrible. He can't score. And so I'm wondering if you could, I mean, there's a million athletes out there if you could find a poor man's Marcus Smart, just find a young athletic kid that, you know, hustles, and then put your money on someone who can actually put the ball in the basket.
Makes perfect sense, but then again, we look around the league and we don't find any of those guys. I mean, you find a Luke Baumute who's hung around the league for a long time, should be playing defense, but there really aren't that many guys who are defensive specialists. And even some of these guys who are lay their reputation on being defenders, they're not as ferocious as Marcus is. They're not, you know, he raises the play of everybody around him by the intensity with which he plays.
How much does Tony Allen make? Because that's the big...
Or did he make?
Or like, did he make? Yeah, how much did he make back in the day? Because that's the comparison. And Lord knows the Celtics fell apart as soon as Tony Allen left.
No, I was a big Tony Allen guy. You're right. Tony Allen in his prime is the only guy you could really compare Marcus to.
Allen in his prime, he never made... In his career, he never made more than $5 million.
All right.
In a season.
That was more an accident of timing.
Sure.
Yeah, all right. I don't know.
I see that.
Marcus Smart, obviously, they're better with him. I wouldn't give him anywhere near that kind of money.
Hey, Mike, can we keep you for one more break? Would that be all right if we called you back after the commercial break?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great, because there's a few more things we want to talk to you about.
I'm not for this. I would like to let you go for a while. But I guess we can come back to
you. About the ratings.
Right now. That's right. You are ratings gold, absolutely.
That's right. All right, Mike Gorman will... We'll call you back. You want us to put you on hold, or you want us to call you back?
Just, you can put me on hold. That's fine.
Okay, all right, you get to listen to the sweet, melodious sound of John's headlines.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High score is 13. Marcus Smart over the shoulder pass. Tatum aggressive. Drives down the left side. Two-hand slam. As Aaron Baines basically was a wall behind which none of the Cavs could get to Tatum. And Jason Tatum had 9 in the first quarter of Game 7.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're recapping the Celtics season, looking towards the future with Mike Gorman, of course, from NBC Sports Boston. Mike Gorman, thank you for staying through the break.
My pleasure.
What did you think of Kyrie Irving not being there Game 7? He got criticized by Mark Jackson during the broadcast, and I think he actually had a point.
Is there a reason out there as to why Kyrie did not come? Because I was kind of disappointed, too.
There is. Danny Ainge was asked about it, and he said that Kyrie had surgery for a deviated septum earlier that day, and then Danny Ainge made a joke and said he didn't want to show up and not looking like a movie star, and so that's why he stayed home.
Well, I've never had surgery for a deviated septum, so I guess I won't make any judgment on how bad you feel, but I was disappointed I didn't see him on the bench.
Well, they stuff gauze up your nose, and you have something that's called, drowning... Something, because I when I got beat up real bad, I had to get my nose worked on, and they shove it up.
Surgery, though?
They had to shove it.
They break your bone, don't they?
And I didn't have a deviated septum surgery, but whatever they do, they put the gauze into your sinuses, so it's not non too pleasant.
Yeah, but
I'm sure it's very unpleasant. Couldn't they have done it on Monday, though?
That, you see, that was my point.
No.
It sounds like something you could move. And Mark Jackson, once again, I hate saying that I agree with anything Mark Jackson said. But his whole thing was that, you know, you never know if you're Kyrie Irving, whether you could see something that your old team is doing that gives you some sort of idea of how to defend them, or maybe some sort of pattern that they're, you know, some plays that they're running that he's familiar with.
Or at least take Terry Rozier aside and calm him down.
Yeah, just to be a calming factor, that seemed really odd. Does that say anything to you about, because then there's a speculation as to whether or not he wanted to be there if LeBron James ended up winning, and then his old team, you know, beats the team that he's on now, and emotionally he might not be able to handle that. Do you think that says anything about Kyrie Irving, the fact that he wasn't able to be there on that Game 7?
Well, yeah, I can only speak from my point of view. I was disappointed when I saw the team come out and I saw Gordon come out and sit behind the bench and there was just no Kyrie. I was unaware of the surgery. You know, my reply to the surgery situation is similar to what you just said, is couldn't they schedule that for Monday morning as opposed to Sunday morning? But maybe it was an emergency procedure. I don't know. But bottom line, I was disappointed that he wasn't there. And, you know, we could spend all day speculating as to potential reasons why he wasn't. But the biggest one is your team's playing a seventh game to get into the NBA Finals. You would think you're there.
All right. Did you hear the story about Brian Colangelo, the GM of the Sixers?
He had multiple Twitter accounts to criticize people, something like that?
Yeah, criticize his own players, like Joel Embiid. He, you know, ripped on him. He ripped on Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor. On top of that, he ripped on, I think.
And what's the point of the ripping? What you. Just venting?
To make himself look good.
We can't figure it out. I can't figure out really how any. I guess the way that people noticed these accounts is he was giving inside information to writers through these Twitter accounts, because like you, I couldn't understand why, you know, some random account defending someone or insulting someone was going to have any effect, but apparently he was giving out information.
Betting information?
No, like information about medical things. Basically, everything that he put out there in the end was in a way to try to make him look good. Like if some player wasn't playing, you know, people would try to blame Colangelo, and he'd be like, no, this guy actually is not passing a physical. That's why the trade didn't go through, even though that was not public knowledge. And at one point, someone was making fun of the collars that Colangelo wore on his shirts, and this fake Twitter account goes, it's a normal collar, get over it and come up with another take. I mean, he was very, very conceited and really cared about what people were saying about him. And if you see that and somebody spilling private information about some of the players, and you're LeBron James, Does this kind of make you think twice before going to the 76ers if that was one of your plans?
I would think so. Seems like just another example of a middle-aged guy misusing social media. If I'm LeBron, I certainly would. I don't think LeBron's coming. If LeBron's going to move out of Cleveland, he's going to move out of Cleveland. He's going to go to L.A. He's not going to come to Philadelphia.
Yeah, you think he's going to go to L.A. just because?
I do think he's going to go to L.A., yeah.
Go to the West? I mean, just it's so. I mean, you've seen how tough the Rockets are going to be to beat.
Put Paul George on the Lakers with him, fill in with around him a little bit. You can compete.
All right. Did we ask you about Marcus Smart's comments after the game?
What did he say?
He talked about how much money he was worth. Directly after the game.
Was this like the 35th question that was asked him? Or the first?
I don't know. But
does it matter?
I think it was kind of near the beginning.
Yeah, it does matter because. But I didn't see the comments, so I really couldn't really comment on them.
I do know that somebody.
The subject matter shouldn't be taking place right after you lose the seventh game, though.
Yeah, he was talking about how he was worth a certain amount of money and basically, talking about how important he is and, you know, how he deserves a lot of money.
Again, not being there at the situation, sometimes these guys, especially when the national media gets involved, they're asking ridiculous questions. I mean, some of the questions you get asked at these post-game press conferences are really dumb. So, again, if that was the first question asked of him, or he went off on a tangent in the first question, I'd be disappointed if that was the 25th question that was asked him. Maybe he was just getting bored.
By the way, shame on me for not thinking about this. So this is someone just tweeted me this about Kyrie Irving. This is a great point. Who has surgery on a Sunday? Also, Monday was a holiday, so he had a non-emergency medical procedure on Memorial Day weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Smells a little fishy.
Well, it's a little disappointing more than fishy. It's disappointing.
I mean,
this is the guy who is the presumed leader of this team.
Yeah, and it's not going to change my opinion of who he is. I mean, God knows they could have used him at the end of several of those games, and I also believe that he was on the team, they would have been in the finals right now. But that is the first time I've looked at him as a leader and gone, maybe he's not the guy we thought he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it would be nice, and he could care less what you and I, we three are talking about here, but it would be nice to get his side of the story, but I don't think we'll ever see that. I think that's behind us, and we're moving forward, I would guess.
All right, so Marcus Smart's talking to Jackie McMullen. So you can get that whole, is this some jabroni national guy, out of the way. And he says, to be honest, I'm worth more than $12 to $14 million. Mm-hmm. Just for the things that I do on the court that don't show up on the stat sheet, you don't find guys like that. I will always leave everything on the court every game. Tell me how many other players can say that.
Mm-hmm. That's all legit.
All right, so you don't have. There was some people saying that was not the right time to make those sort of comments.
Well, it probably wasn't the right time, but it's a venial sin at best. Come on, it's not. That's really picking one quote. I mean, if he kept talking about money over and over and over again, that'd be a different story. But if it's just an answer to one question, he's just trying to state what he thinks he's worth. The 12 to 14 or 12 to 18 range. I mean, that's that's a pretty big range. You know, I've certainly, I don't know about you guys, I've never dealt in with figures like that, so I'm not sure how I feel. Seems like if you're getting 12 million and someone said 14, I'd stop thinking about the numbers and start thinking about where do I want to live, which team do I want to play for. Those would all take precedence over $2 million. These guys, it is a little disturbing. His agent has been pretty aggressive in saying Marcus will take the highest bid no matter what.
Mike, how about this for a starting point? Andre Roberson is a very good defensive player for Oklahoma City, correct?
Right.
Yeah. He is playing on a 3-year, $30 million contract and doesn't score as much as Marcus Smart does. He scores about 6 or 7 points a game.
Right. But I mentioned, we were talking about somebody earlier, and I said timing was everything.
Tony
Evan Turner is a prime example of that. Evan Turner, what do you make, 80-something million?
Yeah, I mean, that's four for 70.
Four for 70.
Okay. Yep. Certainly, if I'm Marcus, I'm thinking I'd fit more than that.
Yeah, it is timing, though, and, you know, whenever you make that deal.
But who has the cap? Who has the space?
Yep.
There was a lot of money floating around a year or two ago. There's not as much money floating around now. People have got themselves tied to contracts, so they're not going to be any more Evan Turner deals. He just popped up at the right time. Marcus may be popping up at the wrong time if he thinks he's going to compare himself to Evan, at least in terms of the size of his checkbook.
All right, so where do you go from here, Mike Gorman? Now that the season is over, you're left to your own devices. Do you and Scalabrine take a vacation together? What happens?
No, we don't do that. My daughter's getting married in 3 weeks.
Oh, that's right.
That kind of blocks out the sun for the next 3 weeks. But after that, I don't know. I'll just laze out a little bit, listen to you guys in the morning, go play golf, hang around.
That's right. You'll listen to us in the morning. Now, do you think
you say blaze out?
No, I didn't.
You said laze out.
Blaze, not blaze.
Blaze. All right.
Gorman's got the Heinsohn. It's the big, big bong.
No.
Do you think you'll weep at your daughter's funeral?
Big baby.
Big baby was. I mean, listen. There was something going on. There was some sort of effect on his mental state. I don't know if it was
the show though.
Oh, he was great.
Oh, yeah.
Every scene with him, and it was the best scene.
All right. Do you think you'll weep at your daughter's wedding?
You know, that's a funny thing. You know how the father of the bride has to stand up and say a few words?
Yeah.
I've written probably 4 different versions of what I want to say, and standing alone in my kitchen, I can't get through it without crying. So I'm certainly not going to do that in front of a lot of people. So, yes, I will have something to say, but it'll be fairly brief.
Well, listen.
I don't want to cry at a wedding. I think that's if I'm going to cry at a wedding, I'll do that off in a corner by myself somewhere, not in front of 200 people.
Yeah, I suggest huddling in a corner and putting your head between your legs.
Yeah, have somebody throw a blanket over me.
That's right. That's far more underground than the other way. All right. Well, Mike Gorman, congratulations on your daughter's marriage. And congratulations on another great season, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
And thanks for lunch the other day. We appreciate
that. Yes. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, you paid the extra.
Let's play golf once this summer. Let's do something different.
That's okay. An idea. Sure.
All right.
All right. I'll arrange it.
Okay.
Wow.
You'll arrange it.
Fantastic.
I'll arrange it. Yeah? Yeah? You got clubs, Fred?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have clubs. I play a lot in the summer.
Yeah. Do you really? No, come on, seriously.
I get go to my parents' house for 2 weeks. I play every day. And then I play over at Woodland.
Are you any good?
No.
Oh, okay. No, we'll be fine then.
All right. I like
all
how
right,
you... Okay.
Seriously, really enjoy this.
Yeah, this was fun.
So do we, Mike.
Appreciate
Take
it,
care, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good offseason.
All right, see you.
All right, see you later. Mike testing the waters to see if it will be okay. Mm-hmm. Play golf with me. I just want to slow him down.
Yeah, I suck. So I'll just pick up my ball when I hit it in the woods, and
no one cares if you play terrible. Yep. Everyone cares if you play fast.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
Mike Lockhart has made a collection of the best Cedric Maxwell calls. We will have that for you in just a moment. Go. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It is the end of another Celtic season. And with that comes Cedric Maxwell. And how many times he's delighted the audience here at 98.5 The Sports Hub with his special brand of color commentating. And Mike Lockhart, Rich, has made a montage of some of the great Cedric Maxwell calls. We hope you enjoy it.
I saw something the other day. It was horrifying. You'd love this. A zebra was born. all the stuff on him. Lion comes over. And this lady starts crying. She's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay.
Shouldn't have won Safari, hon. Should have stayed home.
We'll just go back to the Eastern Conference Finals now.
My J.J. Redick missed the easiest shot he could make, and the Southern Trump back in game. Jump on it! Jump on it! Jump on it! When it goes bad, it goes bad. Grandma, get that sweet potato pie. You didn't put anything in it. That was nasty. Jump on it! Jump on it! Jump on it! Oh. My. Somebody's mama just got smacked. Jump on it. Jump on it. Woo! Harry Irving takes his mask off, man. What was that about? When you rob a bank, you don't take your mask off. Oh, my goodness. A Cheeto Supreme sandwich, please.
Bane on me there.
Bane on Mike. You lose two, and you give up three, that's a five-point swing. Keep us on it, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Let me do the math that Jed Clapp I used to do with Jeffro Boateng. Jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. Play them two, yo, Greyhounds, man, the Greyhounds.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for. Jump on it, jump on
it. These guys are banging bodies. They must be going ham wild.
Ham wild.
Ham wild. Let's go to the hood. Tell somebody, yo, man, you ham wild? Terrazier has done everything except bake the doggone cookies tonight. The two Greyhounds at the end of the basketball game, one Greyhound to the other. You go get a dog. Off the window. Off the window. Window to the wall. This puppy's over. Sorry, Jazz. Go home. Find some more music to play. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
That's a yep. Damn wow.
Free.
Got it. Oh, no. Elizabeth, I'm coming to see you, and I got a sandwich in my hand, baby.
I'm not positive when Cedric Maxwell stopped watching television.
But it's somewhere around 75.
Right. I'm saying it's more like 80. But, now it's all wildlife programs. But right. there's a time where he stepped out of popular culture.
There was a clip in there that I remember when we played it. It's the Jingle Bells clip. And it had nothing to do with, it wasn't around Christmas. Wasn't there, it was in April. It was in April, and he started singing Jingle Bells out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, it happened for...
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells.
As opposed to Cheeto sandwiches.
Yeah, but I mean, at least, that doesn't make sense. But no. Jingle Bells is like... somebody sings Jingle Bells in April, you've gone mad.
But at least it's a song. A Cheeto sandwich doesn't exist. And
it does now. It does now because of his calls.
Yes.
You get the Cedric Maxwell sandwich at the TD Garden.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in theory, it did not exist at the time, nor was there any reason to call it a sandwich. All right. Well, the Las Vegas Knights have captured everyone's heart, as I think everyone's pulling for them outside of Washington during the Stanley Cup final. And they put on a show. If you've watched any of the games before the game starts, there's Knights and some nerd reading stuff about Renaissance era crap. But there is a collection of celebrities, Rich, that come out. And when you think of Vegas, I mean, it's one of the entertainment capitals of the world. And so we'll visit some of the celebrities that are involved.
I mean, they have the national spotlight right now.
That they do.
So they are getting the biggest names for pre and post game to show, you know what? You Los Angeles with your Justin Biebers and your Jack Nicholson and you Boston Celtics with your Wahlbergs and your Menounoses, we've got you guys topped. When it comes to celebrities, we're going straight D-list.
Yep. So you get to hear some of the great people in Las Vegas who've taken the team under their wing. There'll be no commercial.